From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled Forgiven and Forgiving, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Our devotional for today is called Covered and Protected. The text is Psalm 91 and verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, a condescending simile indeed. Just as a hen protects her brood and allows them to nestle under her wings, so will the Lord defend his people and permit them to hide away in Him. Have we not seen the little chicks peeping out from under the mother's feathers? Have we not heard their little cry of contented joy? In this way, let us shelter ourselves in our God and feel overflowing peace in knowing that He is guarding us. While the Lord covers us, we trust. It would be strange if we did not. How can we distrust when Jehovah Himself becomes house and home, refuge and rest to us? This done, we go out to war in His name and enjoy the same guardian care. We need shield and buckler. And when we implicitly trust God, even as the chick trusts the hen, we find His truth arming us from head to foot. The Lord cannot lie. He must be faithful to His people. His promise must stand. This sure truth is all the shield we need. Behind it we defy the fiery darts of the enemy. Come, my soul, hide under those great wings. Lose thyself among those soft feathers. How happy thou art!
Trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes. But at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted bones. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas While Supplies Last. Phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our debts," Dr. Cairns has devoted considerable time to the matter of sin in the lives of God's people. We've seen that there is a critical connection between receiving blessings from God and the confession and forsaking of sin. In this message, Dr. Cairns will explain what is meant by debts in the context of the Lord's Prayer. Particularly, we'll see that the Christian is obligated to forgive those who are his debtors, that is, those who have sinned against him. Now here is Dr. Cairns to commence this message called Forgiven and Forgiving.
This morning we return to our studies in the Lord's Prayer, and we return to verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6. This is one of the briefest texts that a preacher can take, but it is also one of the fullest texts that a preacher can take. And so we have been looking at verse 12 for quite a few weeks. The word that was in my mind this morning as I thought of how we were going through this text was that we were making ponderous progress. Well, ponderous or no, I trust we're getting through, and that the Lord will bless the word to our heart. We have thought of the first part. We spent a week emphasizing the significance of the very first word at the beginning of the verse, the word "and." Why this should be the first petition in the prayer that is specifically connected with what goes before, so that we pray, "Give us and forgive us," as it were, all in one breath. We studied why that should be. Then we thought of the problem of sin, even in the life of believers, what we are to do about sin, and what we're asking the Lord to do about sin. Now we come to the latter half of the verse, where we pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us as we forgive others. Now, when you're approaching a text of Scripture, you must always ask it certain questions. When we're in homiletics class, we emphasize to the students the first thing a preacher has to ask a text, and he hopes it gives him an answer very clearly. If it doesn't, he has to spend a long time quizzing it. He has to ask it, "What is it about?" And then when he's discovered what it's about, and sometimes that's not the thing to which his mind would naturally jump, he's got to ask the text, "What does it say about what it's about?" Two very simple questions, but very important questions, because in this way, the preacher, and of course everybody wanting to come to terms with a text of Scripture, must find out its meaning and its message. Now that's, as I say, always important. It's particularly important in this text that we have taken this morning. As you look at it, I think you will see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching that those who seek God's forgiveness for their own sins must be willing to forgive other people who have sinned against them. If you're seeking forgiveness, you must be willing to grant forgiveness. And in establishing that simple but very far-reaching truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think, draws our attention to the whole subject of being forgiven and being forgiving. And in dealing with the theme, we're going to consider very simply the meaning and the message of the words in which the Lord Jesus conveys this truth. Now let's take time, and we may not get any further than this today, to think of the meaning of the text. We can quickly dispense, I trust, with the idea of our debtors. Who or what are our debtors? You'll notice that when we recite the Lord's Prayer, we normally say, "Forgive us our trespasses." Now, I have to be honest and say that The Authorized Version rightly translates it, debtors. Our debts and debtors. The word trespasses comes in later in verse 14 and 15, but it's a different word entirely. And I think there's a very simple reason as to why the church very early substituted trespasses for debts. And that was that this word sounded altogether too radical. And it appeared to open the door for people to borrow a lot of money and not pay it. It appeared to be saying too much, Lord, I want to just forgive those who owe me anything. And therefore, of course, lose a lot of property or a lot of money. When you look at the passage, I think you'll discover that the Lord Jesus is not speaking of monetary debts. He's not saying that every Christian must wipe out everything that everybody owes him in money terms, otherwise he can never have God's forgiveness. That is not what the Lord Jesus is saying. You'll find out what he means by debts by going back to the first part of the text. We there spent some time on that. Forgive us our debts to God. And we took out the full biblical view of that and had a look at it. When we transport that into the second part of the text, we find who our debtors are. Remember that debts are offenses or sins. They are deviations from the law of God. They are failures to do what God requires. They are failures to do what we ought to do, what we owe to God and man to do. Those are debts. And so our debtors, in the latter part of the text, are people who have offended us. Now, I use the word offended in its biblical sense. I don't mean simply somebody who has looked at you wrong and your pride gets hurt. Very often, when people say, you offended me, the trouble is not with the supposed offender, but with the supposedly offended one. I've often told you about the great Irish Presbyterian evangelist W.P. Nicholson, who preached rather toughly and roughly. And a very well-dressed, aristocratic sort of lady came to him after one of his mighty pulpit orations where he had denounced sin and pride in his usual language about the dirty, stinking pride of your heart. And she didn't like it, and she came and she said, Mr. Nicholson, you rubbed me up the wrong way. And he said, then, madam, just turn around and it'll be the right way. And there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of people who say, you offended me, it's only their pride. When I use the word offend, I'm using it in the biblical sense. People who have failed to do their duty toward us. People have failed to come through with what we rightly expect and require of them. People who have failed to meet their moral obligations to us and therefore owe us. People who therefore by word or by deed have injured us, alienated us, and thereby incurred our wrath and our displeasure. Those are our debtors. Those who owe us something. And of course, where possible, they ought to pay what they owe. They ought to do what they ought to do. That's obvious, isn't it? And if they haven't been doing it, it's time to start doing it, and where it's possible to make up for what they haven't done, they ought to make up for it. Scripture clearly teaches, throughout both Testaments, the necessity of restitution. So, these debts ought to be paid. But in the nature of the case in the text, the Lord Jesus is talking about moral debts which people cannot pay. Forgive us our debts, which we can't pay to God, as we forgive our debtors those things which they cannot pay to us. Now, when people sin against you, they may apologize. They should apologize. Sometimes that's the most difficult thing in the world to do. Christians can find it very hard to do. The words stick in the throat. The jaws seem to be clamped together. And bad situations become worse. And little problems become great problems. A little gulf that could be bridged by a timely word becomes a great chasm that causes a split for a lifetime. Apologies sometimes are difficult to make, but Christians ought to be quick to apologize. But remember, an apology in itself does not merit the removal of a debt. Nor does an apology necessarily restore a broken heart or a broken reputation. I think we ought to remember that. I better be careful, for I'll get away off on another tangent here. But we ought to be remembering that before we open our mouths the first time. We all know people who say, I just boil up all of a sudden and I say things that I don't really mean. That's a lie. You're hiding behind a lie. When you just boil up and say it, at that time you mean it. But we know people who make this excuse. It doesn't really mean anything. I just come in and say I'm sorry. But before you've ever got to saying you're sorry with the first outburst, you've already stuck a dagger in the heart. I have seen, and I could take time this morning and give you the history of one man over a 30-year period whose life was injured, whose usefulness to God had been significant, I would even say great, whose work in the church was wonderful, and yet that man's life and usefulness were brought to a grinding halt, and he crippled his way through the rest of his life because another man whom I know very well and who is generally a very good man, but yet was prone to boil up and to say and speak without adequate thought. And his sudden thrust inflicted a wound. It was never healed. It was never healed. One of those men has gone to his grave, and the other is soon to follow. The second one, to be quite honest, has no idea of the extent of the injury he caused. I just wonder what the Lord will have to say when he meets those men. As I say, an apology should be given, but it doesn't merit the removal of a debt. It does not necessarily restore the hurt that it has caused. But while an apology does not in itself merit our pardon, listen to me, it must have it. Our debtors must receive our pardon, because as recipients of God's mercy, we must be willing to show mercy. In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus speaks of an unmerciful servant who came with a great debt to his master and came under condemnation, and his master forgave him. He wiped out the debt. That unmerciful servant went out, and he met another inferior servant who owed him a paltry little amount of money. And he grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." The man said, give me time and I'll pay. He says, I'll give you no time, and took him, and he threw him in jail. And his earthly lord, when he heard about it, came, reversed his decision, and said, you'll pay every cent that you owe me, and threw him and all that he had in prison. The Lord Jesus said, the moral of that, you must remember the moral of a parable. Don't read other things into it incidental to the story. The moral of it is, if you're not willing to forgive, then you will not have God's forgiveness. Now, Christians, we ought to remember that. It's very easy to get our backs up, and in our pride and in our selfishness, we isolate ourselves from people who have done us some wrong. But remember, whatever the wrong they have done to us, it is infinitesimally small in comparison to the wrong we have done to our God. And yet He has given us a full and a free and a frank pardon. And He expects us to be a forgiving people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.